Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week, and I mean that literally. And hope you all, wherever you are having enjoying your year. We've been already several months into the new year. Lots happening. A lot of good stuff's going on. And for you agents and brokers out there listening, I hope you're on target with your plans for this year. And if not, just start over and do it again. This is just another day. It's no big deal. We can always start at any time in our life, any time of the year. It doesn't matter. It's all about making it work and not picking on yourself about it, because I see a lot of the agents and brokers do that. And knowing firsthand. So today we are going to, we have a great guest on today, and I'm looking in my thing here. We have a great guest on today who's going to stick with us a whole hour, and I'm real excited to have him on. He's been in the industry for years and years and years, and I guess I'm just being an old-timer, I can say that. Digital loans. Have you ever thought about digital loans? And, you know, for the millennials right now, you probably think, of course we've thought about digital loans. But for the old-timers who were used to doing everything, even before fax machines, even before, I mean, well, I don't want to say copy machines, right, but fax machines, the digital loans are definitely here to stay. And Mike Campion, he's vice president of mortgage lending. He's with GuaranteedRate.com, which we'll dig in today and go through how that works and how they help. He's a seasoned expert, veteran in the industry, sharing insights on how this benefits you and all of us. Mike's been in the mortgage business for over 20 years, weathering the downturn of 2008. He worked also with NVR Mortgage, which, for those of you who are familiar, their sister companies are Ryan Homes and Envy Homes, and also worked with a builder prior to. So he has vast knowledge of our industry. Now, we have a lot of people that listen in that aren't agents and brokers, but this will help you as well, because this applies to buyers and sellers too, and people you know. So Ryan Homes and Envy Homes is pretty large, and they cover every aspect of new homes. And working with a builder, with him having this knowledge, he gets so many different viewpoints, which really makes him an expert and so qualified to lead. Mike's also a graduate of University of Maryland, College Park, and Loyola High School. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mike. Hey.
Hey, Natalie. Thank you so much for inviting me onto the show. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. Definitely.
Yes, and digital mortgages. So it's a great topic. Certainly one that is out here in the forefront and is, I guess just really becoming more of the standard with the way, and it's not just an online application, it's really taking it all the way through to the end virtually. And we at Guarantee Rate are starting to do a lot of that. But I can tell you a little bit about myself and Guaranteed Rate.
Yeah,
I
let's
have
hear about
been,
you,
you
first,
said.
And then we'll go through it
okay.
all. That'll be great. Yeah.
Okay. I have been in the industry for, I think, since about 93, so it's been even longer than that. Started in retail with the builder department, then I moved straight to a builder mortgage company, and then back into the retail end, most recently with Guaranteed Rate. So I've seen a lot in terms of the types of transactions out there. In terms of mortgages, certainly there's just been a huge difference from the very beginning when you were doing loan applications to face with written on a 1003 and live signatures to now. A lot of it's just done electronically. So there's really has been a big change there, and it certainly makes it, I believe, a lot easier now the way it is structured now. So.
You, what do you? Because in the old days, I remember before we even had fax machines, and that was, everything was done physically. And then you had your storage issues, and the loan process. Most underwriters were usually located in one location. Lots, it dependent. It's just very different. Tell us. So you actually worked with a builder before, right? And you, so you've been in many aspects of this. Tell us how did? Oh, go ahead.
It, what I was going to say is most of it was with the builder's mortgage company, although, you know, a lot of the focus is there. You're in the builder meetings. Your clients, just like my clients now, are referral partners, are realtors. When you're with the builder mortgage company, your clients and your referral partners are the builder's agents that are on the site. So, you know, your job is to keep them happy and to, you know, to meet their needs. So you're involved in, you know, their meetings, and you know everything that they're going through in terms of, at least in terms of new construction, you know, from the very beginning to the end, what causes delays, what are the types of things that you have to plan for. Timing-wise, you have to, it's a much longer cycle than the retail market. So you're having to collect documentation multiple times. A lot of it is really like in any transaction, you have to set the expectations. You have to be upfront and honest about that, and then really kind of keep everybody in the loop as things are going forward. We always talk about our mortgage, digital mortgage process being transparent. You know, the more that you can be transparent with your buyers, with everybody involved, you that's how you kind of establish some of the trust and, you know, can weather some of the downturns. When I say downturns, the things that can slow down a transaction, sometimes things that are out of your control. With new construction, it could just be the permit process. There could be a variety of things that just, you know, are out of your control, and you just kind of have to work with them. But if everybody's aware of what's going on, the transparency really does help.
That makes a lot of sense. I wasn't even thinking about it because I've done new homes over the years. So the fact that you can have the loan ready and then there's permitting processing, or this sub isn't ready, or this isn't built in the building. On the new homes, I guess, do you pretty much have people, can you do the longer lock-ins? I remember in the old days, the builders would buy up the lock. They could buy the lock extended locks or...
you know, a lot of builder-owned mortgage companies will have extended locks. We at Guaranteed Rate have a nice array of extended locks that we can use. They're not quite as critical now as they had been, although you never know with the next few months with rates starting to move up. You know, over the past few years, it hasn't been. They've just been low. Everybody's, you know, just kind of been in complacent in that they're just going to stay low. But they've started to move up really since the election, roughly 0.5%, plus or minus. So we're kind of at a new level. Whether that'll continue to go up, you know, it's we're not sure. But we do have, if people are in that mode and they want extended locks, they are available. And we have some good ones that were reasonable with. Go ahead. What was your question?
No, because that really is a really big, valid, large point. I mean, that's a large difference with new homes versus resale, because resale, possibly you're going to close, settle in 30 days, 45, 60 days on the average. On the new home, if they're coming in and it's not even built yet, depending on who you're building with, or, you know, you've got those construction loans to perm, you know, that's a whole different set of terms to educate somebody on and to get prepared for, right, with these changes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find builders still buying the longer rate, or are they just kind of turning it over to the buyer?
In general, they've been turning it over to the buyer
as
a, you know, really up to them as to what they want to do. But if it looks like, you know, certainly they monitor that, and if they feel they're in a rising in rate environment, it's what's so critical for builders is to not lose the sale. So if they need to spend a little bit of money on extending the lock so that that customer still qualifies, they don't want to put themselves in a position where they're going to lose the actual sale. So that's why it's important that they would, you know, they do monitor that and try to keep that as something that they may need to do, really just to protect the sale. So, but, you know, the majority of it out there is in the retail end, and you are in shorter time frames, you know, typically 30 days or, you know, 30 to 45 days. And with the new digital way of doing it and trying to do all of that electronically, it really does save a lot of time, and you can really try to move that process through a lot quicker.
It's a good question, though, for a buyer to ask, because I've seen in different markets where, you know, we have markets where everybody's on it every step of the way, but I've seen in some where it's more loose, and somebody may not, oh, it's not going to go up, it's fine, and then all of a sudden we have some problem and they're not going to qualify, or, you know, so it's a, on the new homes. I mean, it's important in any loan, but I think on the new homes if the build-out is 4, 5, 6 months out. What's the longest lock-in you could go on a new home? Or I know the builders can negotiate larger chunks of money, right? But if a, so is that like two
years?
Yeah,
so some can go out some can go out a year, but a typical amount is 180 days. So that's kind of a typical. And usually the variable there is if they've gotten kind of the approval to get a foundation in. So once they can get that going, then you can really start the clock and you have, you know, some cushion at the end for things like that. But it is kind of somewhat of a variable until you can get the until you know you can get a shovel in the ground that you want to, then up to that point it's still, you know, it could be all kind of issues that could cause a delay. So,
wow, that's because just so many scenarios come up. And one of the things in the industry, we always want the buyer and the seller to be comfortable in everything. And you know, I'm a firm believer in look at the end result and then move backwards, right, to make sure everything's covered. And have good systems in place. Skipping over, tell us how Guaranteed Rate came about, because it seems like you guys have been ahead of the curve.
Well, yes, it does. And so a little bit about Guaranteed Rate, and we do, you may see, we do a lot of advertising, and Ty Pennington is our national spokesperson. So for any of the listeners that see Ty on the TV or hear him on the radio advertising a mortgage company, that's us. That's Guaranteed Rate. And the company was started in 2000 out of Chicago, by Victor Ciardelli, and the goal was to focus, he wanted to develop a mortgage company that was geared towards realtors, that really was helping them increase their business. That was the whole goal. And so they started with just one office, a small shop, and they have continued to grow, or we have continued to grow, and the company now, last year in 2016, we closed $23 billion worth of mortgages.
Wow.
So it really has grown in that 16-year period. In terms of technology, that's always been something that they've been very aggressive with and on the forefront, you know, ultimately leading to where we are now with the digital mortgage, and I can talk a little bit about that. Some other things that they've been very aggressive with is our Gateless, G-A-T-E-L-E-S-S, gateless.com. That's a realtor coaching site that is completely free, no banner ads, no nothing like that. And we can talk about that, because that is really targeted for the realtors in terms of having a lot of videos, a lot of shareable content on how to, as example, you know, build your team or get more leads or get more listings or better negotiations. So we can talk a little bit about that. But
so that
the company itself...
Right. That comes off the resource. That's a different site than the main site, right? I'm just asking for...
That's correct.
Listening.
And that,
okay.
That's really just... That's geared towards realtors, and it's helping them grow their business, giving them content that they can share on their social media platforms.
Right.
There's a lot of different topics that we talk about. One of the topics is technology. You know, I'm kind of old school, so trying to stay up with a lot of this stuff is hard. And so there's a lot of stuff on there, articles, videos. How do you use Facebook to increase your sales? How do you use this? So it's a source of a lot of information that can be used, and you're not going to be bombarded with ads and other kind of stuff. It's all just for gateless.
I love it. I love it. And well, I'm looking at the we're. Company site has quite a lot of education for buyers and sellers as well. So I'm assuming that the agents and brokers can share this information as well too, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
One thing I thought is really cool though is you have this. It's called on guaranteedrate.com or grrate.com. I want you to give your contact information a second too, because it's really important. And everybody knows that works with us and listens, but we have other people that may not. They can always go to radio@realtyuniversal.com and also go to our website, realtyuniversal.com, and we'll forward everything. But we'll get to it in a second for you to give. The one on your homepage, it's got an intuitive loan finder, and I think that's so cool. Is it like an algorithm, so it kind of asks questions and answers and says, hey, this is the best loan for you?
Correct. It kind of steers you into, based on questions that it asks and you answer, it's going to try to steer you to what might be what it believes might be a good choice, or certainly a choice to look at as maybe a primary choice. You know, how long you might be in the house, fixed rate versus your tolerance for risk, an ARM versus a fixed rate, just several questions in terms of down payment. Maybe one is going to be more geared towards an FHA loan because it's lower down payment, or just other choices. So as you go through that, it will give you, it will try to steer and give you options for those programs and what those rates would look like that at that moment in time. And that's somewhat even tied in with our digital mortgage. Which,
wow.
When we talk about that with the digital mortgage, but let me just try to explain and what's a little bit different between ours and the general industry. So most lenders have an online application. That is nothing in this day and age. It's something that you have to have. So, you know, you're getting your clients to put their information in, and then that's then usually available for the loan officer to speak with the client at some point in time. What ours does is the client puts in their information, and they can continue kind of through the process in, let's say, 15, 20, 30 minutes and pull their own credit. And if the credit scores are in the above a certain level, they can take it the next step, which would be to run the automated underwriting based on the information that they put in.
I'm just like, what you're telling me right now, I am so taken aback, being in the industry 32 years. They let the buyer, actually customer, pull the own, do the underwriting. Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
A physical underwriter has to look at the loan.
Sure.
This is part of the way the industry has changed for us old-timers from when the very beginning to now. So the reality is...
But I know you could do it, but you wouldn't be letting me do it as a consumer. You could do it as a loan officer. But no, I mean, we hear it all because I go, you should invent loans. Wait a minute, there's a problem. Can you do that right now? And then, we'll do it on the... But I couldn't do it. So you guys that's amazing. Do they have to pay ahead of time or anything to get this far?
No, there's no cost. And, in fact, you could do that. Let's say Friday night you find a house you really want to look at, and you go Saturday morning and you want to put in a contract. you can go online to our, you can go to my website, which is Mike Campion at Guaranteed Rate. But you can go to the website, you can do the online application. It'll walk you through, do you want to pull credit? Yes, pull credit. If that credit is above the normal credit range that we need for the loan programs, it will take you to the next step, which is to run the automated underwriting. And on most all of the loans now, any of the normal, what they will call qualified mortgages, your Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Ginnie Mae loans, all are run through some type of automated underwriting engine. That's just kind of normal practice. And the two main ones are Desktop Underwriter and Loan Prospector. But so we allow the customer, now he is all they, not he or she, have put in their information in terms of income and assets. So assuming that's correct, that all needs to be verified.
Sure.
But assuming that's all been put in correct.
Everything has to be verified. No, well, no.
Assuming that's been verified, then.
Right, we're not, you don't want, that disclaimer has to be there. If you lie, we're not going to honor this loan. Right, exactly.
That's correct. But you at least get to run it through the automated underwriting.
Or if it's misunderstood, I should say that way. Wow, I can't. That is like, for me, I feel like you just gave me a present today. I know you guys do it all the time, and that's okay. But typically, you guys, and I don't mean, but many times, you're not going to do it unless you have a signed contract. You're not going to start the process. I mean, this is amazing that you let the buyer just go ahead and do it. That's awesome.
Yeah, now at this point, we've not actually triggered a loan because we haven't put in, this is really a pre-qualification.
Right.
So, but it will enable the borrower to get to that point. So they can run it through and it'll come back and let's say it says approved. Then it will give them an option to print a pre-approval letter that says, computer underwriting approval. Not computer, the automated underwriting approval. They can then take that letter and submit it with the contract, and this could be a half hour after they started.
That's amazing to me. So in the 3 o'clock in the morning, they can do this.
Correct.
So it's not going to be a conditional, but it's going to be a true pre-approval. Is there a signature, or it's just Guaranteed Rate? It just says basically it's like a regular pre-approval.
It'll say Guaranteed Rate, and it would have my name on it.
That's amazing.
It's all subject to verification.
We see pre-quals. You can go up and say, I'm going to do a pre-qual. And there's some companies that will let you do like a simple, but not a real detail. I didn't know you could do desktop approval in there. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, so this one allows that.
Wow.
So then let's take the next step, which allows the digital mortgage program evaluates the results from Desktop Underwriter or Loan Prospector. So it reviews that because that's where it says what the conditions are. As an example, if you're salary and you need a W-2, it might say W-2 transcript. So that then creates a checklist which is sent to you along with a link that enables you to upload the documents through a encrypted website, through an encrypted link. So all of this kind of triggers after you start the application. You take it all the way through to the end, and you can really be uploading your documents.
That's amazing.
That we will be needing that the computer underwriting has requested. So the computer underwriting is saying you need these six documents. You can upload them. That's what we're going to be looking for. So that all is now being uploaded, and ideally the way the current industry is, anything that you can do online and electronically in PDF form, it's all much easier. All of our loan documents, so let's say they then find a property, and we trigger an actual loan application with an address. The loan documents are all sent out electronically. They're signed electronically. That's the ideal way, which enables everything to move forward in a timely fashion.
So now you would get let's give your contact information. I can't believe we're almost halfway through, and I want to give it in detail for you.
So my contact, it's Mike Campion, C A M P PION, at guaranteed rate. And if you just Google that, it should pop up, because that actually ties in with one of the features for your agents that go into gateless. We get to utilize the search engine optimization will throw you up on the first page of these Google searches because you're linked in with guaranteed rate and with gateless.
Oh, okay.
So it really, that's a whole separate issue, but it helps you rise to the top in the searches.
If you're tied in with the gateless and the...
Because you're... We really focus on how to get on the first page. But
so
hopefully
let's
my
let's go,
name...
Let's do that. Let's talk about for the... Because you're doing... I don't know if you're doing Google AdWords or you're doing the SEO, the search engine optimization. So you're saying the agents and brokers can tie in with your name and link in with the guaranteed rate, and that'll also help them get higher in the search engines because you're, you know, guaranteed rates doing all this work and spending all this money to get up there. Right.
And so let me clarify there. It's mainly on, so when they register, we haven't talked about gateless. So gateless is our agent coaching site.
I'll get to that.
And
in a minute,
all of it's free. You don't
question.
Have to sign up for anything. If you take the step to sign up, then you open up a lot of extra benefits. Now, there's no cost to be a member. So really signing up is just getting a name and a password. But it opens up the additional benefits where you can create your profile. So you would take your picture and your realtor license and your, you know, all the information. You create your profile, and then you make that active, and that ties it in to increase your SEO, your search engine optimization. So that's where then you'll start rising, hopefully rising to the top without having to pay any money. So all of this, you're just, particularly if you're in a smaller agency, maybe not one of the larger agencies where they are trying to do this also, but you're in a smaller agency and you need the benefit of a large group, this enables you to do that. And so that is all part of this gateless, GATELESS, gateless.com setup. And that's the agent coaching. And if you take that step to register, you'll get some emails and you'll get some confirmation, but you can create flyers. We have some great shareable content there. Probably one of the nicer things is our Enjoy magazine, which is a 16-page lifestyle magazine. It just talks about, you know, what's a good drink for the summer or something fun or a vacation place. But it's something that can be shared on Facebook or social media. It's something that your agents could give, could share out to their social media groups. And it's not buy this house right now. It's just getting your name out there with fun content that's not always about realty.
Right, exactly. Which is the real world with what we do, right? You have to talk about a little bit of everything because it's not just the realty. I love what you're doing. Now flipping back just a second because it helps with the agents, buyers, and then sellers and agents, brokers, sellers, and buyers. On the when they go in and a buyer is going to go in and get their own pre-approval, and then they're going to get the pre-qual letter. Is that the point where you contact them and get in touch with them or your processors contact them and they start getting the information to send to their employees or their company and banks, et cetera, to document? Is that what happens in a couple of days after they do this?
What would happen
is
the loan officer or I as the loan officer would contact them. So it's triggered into my system that an application or a pre-application has been started. I would give a call. That's when you kind of go through the information and you just try to verify with the experience that we have and how underwriting is going to look at certain things. You know, has it all been entered correctly? and are we going to be good to go? But that would be the next step. So they could do all of that, get their pre-approval letter. But at some point soon, quickly, we would be talking with them, or I would be talking with them, to make sure that all this looks good. And what I try to do is identify any red flags. And even if there aren't any, there's something. You just try to say, okay, this is the only glitch I see, not glitch, but the only thing that underwriting will focus on. And not every loan is the same. Even if you're just straight salaried and all the money's in the bank, there still could be something. It could be a condo. It could be whatever. So you try to. I try to identify where I think. If there's going to be a focus on one area, that we raise that and we say this would be helpful documentation. This is a way to explain that, you know. So that's where the experience of the loan officer comes in and will enable that. That's how you get a transaction to go from beginning to end without anybody
getting upset.
Seamlessly.
The technology today, I mean, I love algorithms. I think they're the way to go. I mean, we had the apps and the app store there, but the algorithms are just individually are fantastic. But with this virtual reality, humans, et cetera, we almost need a blend. You know, we still need Mike Campion to say, here's the file, and this is what I think this will work or won't work, and to look over it, right? Because one of the biggest problems I've seen over the years, and that's why it's wonderful to work with a great company and a great loan officer, et cetera, is you don't want to run into snags that should have been seen up front. You know, there's a lot of things that the underwriters are going to ask for, and if the package isn't processed as well as it could be, there's going to be more items that are needed, which just causes more stress to the buyer because they think they've given everything they're supposed to give, and then they get asked for this document and that document, and et cetera. So I think when you do that, you're kind of blending the algorithm you guys do plus your knowledge, which is huge. And that can really make it a much, much more seamless, comfortable process because we've all been there, agents, brokers, as buyers too, you know, where it gets frustrating, and it can get frustrating. And this is so it sounds like you have that covered really well.
We try. When you look at various customer surveys, you know, through our company and through a lot of companies, what you find in the mortgage industry is that the two biggest problems are asking for documentation at the end, as you said, that should have been asked up front, and asking for multiple asking for the same documentation multiple times. Those two things just drive people nuts, and it would drive me nuts if I was the borrower.
And the agents, and everybody, and the sellers.
Yeah, exactly. So it's trying to identify those things up front that are going to be a red flag, and then getting, you know, even if you have to get an underwriter involved at the very beginning, saying, how do you want me to address this, or this is how I think we should address this particular issue. But self-employed is an area that, you know, can open up questions, other properties, you know, just a combination of things. As I've said, every loan is different. So usually there's something that has to be addressed on something. But if you deal with it up front and you explain why the information is needed, then you've got the client's buy-in, and it'll move forward seamlessly.
That's fantastic. Now, on the virtual, because when you're going in and the buyer's going in and doing a pre-qual, is it going to see whether they should do a conventional, if they say they want to put 20% down, VA, FHA, USDA, is it going to go that far with them, or it's just going to pre-qual based on the minimum?
No, it will make some recommendations if they – it will probably ask them what they are using as a target for down payment. So I don't, you know, I'm not sure. From that point, it will then steer in the right directions if it happens to be a jumbo loan or a smaller loan. And it may not give targets for first-time homebuyer, USDA, because it might not have a specific property address. It's going to be driven at that point in time just on a zip code. And so the loan officer could then or would then make additional suggestions as, you know, let's look at this, let's look at this, as other options. But certainly it's a great tool in the very beginning to kind of steer and get you a good, accurate rate of where they are at that point in time. Yeah.
If they love it.
Yeah,
love
and the rates are live. Right. It's popping it up right there is what it is, and that's where we are.
Oh, that's great to know, because it's, so if they see a house at 9 o'clock at night and they want to, you know, have this submitted by the morning, they can do it. That's good. What happens
They would have the pre-qualification.
Can you guys do you do asset lending also for the jumbo loans?
So there is asset lending, and I'm going to put that into kind of two categories.
Okay.
The normal qualified mortgages, which are the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac type loans, they don't have, quote, like bank statement programs, which is one category. But for their retired, if you're in a retired age or above, you can use the value of your retirement account as a as an income. And so that is something that is kind of an asset that is a not a very well-known option to be able to count that as income without actually taking it as income. Now,
does
it's not
it,
a lot.
Is it the amount that you're receiving from it, or the actual percentage of the value?
No, it's generally 1/360th of the value. But you don't actually have to take money from it.
1/360th.
1/360th. If you're doing a 30-year loan.
Okay.
So
360th.
It's not a lot.
That's
what you could count per month.
Oh.
Correct.
Okay.
The value you're allowed to use. You know, it's one of those things where you usually need just a little bit more to get over
right.
the edge, and that's one of those items for people that are over, that are above retirement age, that you could use without, if they haven't actually started taking it, they could start taking it, and you're allowed to count some of that. I think some of your initial question was probably geared more towards other types of what we used to know as the no docs, the stated income, the stated asset, that type.
Right.
So there are some programs that are out there that are bank statement based type programs. Typically rates on those programs are going to be a little bit higher, but they are there. They're great if you're in the type of situation where you're self-employed. Maybe the income is not on the tax return, but it is in the bank statements. So we do have some through some of our broker network that we can do the asset, you know, or bank statement type program. So there's, if they're going to be accepting that more as income, then they're going to want a good, better credit. So gone are the days where you can be weak in all three areas, the income, cash, and credit, which is kind of what got us into that whole 2008
mess. 6 years where if you breathe, you could get a loan, right? If people
would say, I
make $30,000 a year, but I can buy a $700,000 house. No, you can't do that.
Yep.
But, yes,
yep.
Right, they're gone. Well, they need to be gone.
They do. I think the part of the problem was they were combining, you could be weak in all three areas. In the past, if you were strong in income or assets, you could be a little weak in the third area. But at that point in time, it was, you could be weak in all three areas and still get a loan, and that just caused the whole domino effect.
But there was a lot to it, but that was one of them. It's kind of unfair to the self-employed, though, that really – that's why it's nice that some of that's coming back for the people that really do make the money, have the money. But then, of course, with all their write-offs, it's not coming down on their the bottom of their returns. So you know what I mean? I just think that it seems like there still should be that place where people that do have excellent credit and do bring in the money can still, you know, not be shunned out. Like,
I agree completely.
Is that kind of state laws?
Yeah. As an example, most of what I do is in Maryland, although I can lend in all 50 states.
Uh-huh.
But In Maryland, there you have to do some type of income calculation. So it is, there are a lot of the rules have lent themselves that you have to do some type of verification. So if the income, if you are self-employed and it really is not showing on the tax return, even if it's on bank statements, you know, there you may not qualify for the qualified Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac type loan, but you might have to go to some other slightly higher rate type program. Or just work on focusing, you know, getting the docs and the income in the right range.
Well, I've seen we get a lot of emails working with Hawaii and around the country with our members on all the different areas, and I've seen where California, Florida, there's some different, you know, different loans you can do that are, I think if they have their investor loans, 20% down. The rates are considerably higher, though, from what I've seen, you know, where they can still do stuff.
Yes, because you don't have Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac there to back them up.
Right.
And that's the main thing. And or the mortgage insurance company. So they're requiring a larger down payment, and they're taking the risk. They want the reward, which is the higher rate.
That makes sense.
So
it makes sense. But maybe one day we'll get back to a level thing that kind of works out. So this is what you're doing is just great. And so how do you stay, what's your typical customer that you have? And what questions do they typically have when you're dealing with people overall?
You know, it's everywhere from first-time home buyer to move up. So the questions really are geared by kind of where they are in the process in terms of, is this their first home or is this a move-up home? You know, and with the loan limits now, are you into what product range? Are you into a jumbo product or into a lower product? My client base is the whole range. I get a big kick out of doing first-time home buyers. I found I was very successful with dealing with senior and retirement people from my background in the builder area with the builder mortgage company, having done a lot of over 55 communities. You know, that was just a good mix for me personally, but and they're fun to deal with. Although the whole digital part is a little new for some in our older generation.
But 55 is very young now, don't you think? It's extremely
young.
It is.
It is.
It just goes by so fast. It's so funny how they
As
have
we
these
say stuff. That in our 50s, right?
but it really is. You're like, you're kidding me. Oh, my God. I remember when I was 20, that 50 seemed like an old person, right? So,
exactly.
Very different. But I know that the first-time home buyers, I bet they text a lot, right? You probably can never get them on the phone. They just text you is what usually the younger ones I find.
That is correct.
The communication is so funny.
And I'm not sure if any of your agents will appreciate this, but it is something I've had to get used to because I would much prefer to speak with somebody on the phone. I speak faster than I type, so I would rather do it that way. But that's not how they want to work. And I talked to my son, and he's like, it's all text. It's all,
I've had agents say they're not returning my calls. I said, did you try to text? No. Well, text, boom, 5 minutes later, they have the text back. My fingers are too large for this texting, but I find that I'm going to have to start voice texting, you know, people talk into it. Because then I'm doing it, but then I have a little typo, and I don't want all spell check because then it changes my words, you know. And it's only because I'm trying to be fast. But it is. It's interesting, the communication. So for the younger generation, this is the way to go. What do you do on, for example, if it's a VA loan and they say, no, we need wet signatures? Just FedEx or UPS everything?
We don't require that. Our VA loans are all electronic also. Yeah.
Really?
So I'm not
I've had – wow, that's great. Maybe
that's
changing.
Yeah, we do everything – So at this point, the only thing that hasn't yet become completely electronic, and they're in the process of doing it, is the closing. But everything up to the closing with our I may be wrong, but I'm
we
actually use DocuSign, but it's all done electronically. Everything that they do They acknowledge receipt of the appraisal. They do all the initial loan docs, the closing disclosure, the loan estimates. All of that's just done electronically. And you can, you know, if they're active and good with it, you can send the document out and 3 minutes later have it signed. It's just, it really enables the process to move forward.
Because we had a point where VA had to be wet, and I guess now it could be electronic. I've seen on short sales, which is completely different, you know, when we're dealing with short sale and the VA, it was a VA loan, there's some that will let you do electronics, like Equator is a platform that's used a lot for a lot of short sales with a lot of lenders, not all. But I found over the years of VA, they would say, no, it had to be wet, had to be wet. So if that's approved now, too, that's even better.
We are direct with Fannie, Freddie, and Ginny, and so some of that might be with us, but I think in general that's just the way it is. So
now,
they really are making it a little bit easier to move forward quickly.
I love it.
Things. We just touched on the gate list, so I did want to raise that for your agents.
Let me turn it completely over to you because we only have about 14 minutes left. So let me stop talking and let you roll with the gate list because it sounds like a great thing. And go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to highlight for your clients and your members that it is a agent, as I said earlier, an agent coaching site, and it has a lot of topics. So when you go into gatelist.com, and it'll pop up. There's no ads and stuff on the side that are messing with you. But it gives a whole list across the top of categories that are helpful for the agents. So those categories could be building your team or how to close buyers. I think we have 8 categories there, generating leads, how to get listings, managing your business. These are all categories, and in each one of those tabs is a list of videos, articles, and downloads. The videos are actually agents, successful agents across the country that we interview, and there are, you know, 1 to 2 minute type videos that will be how did they get more listings? How did they do 46 million in a year? You would have been a perfect candidate when you were doing your 80 million.
I mean, if they want me to do it, I could do it. No problem. I'm still selling. That's the one thing. It's like balancing,
you're still
you know.
Selling.
But yeah. I'm still selling,
yeah.
And I'm not trying to sell as much. I'm doing referrals and repeat, but I'm still very well. We're very active, but yeah, I'm not trying to take on the world. But, yeah, definitely as far as teaching them, it's easy for me. So, yeah, I love it. So go ahead. No more questions.
And this is, so a lot of the larger companies may have some of this, but this is all stuff that you want a little video on how to use, you know, a certain app on your phone, or there's a whole technology section. Master your technology. How do you optimize Yelp? How do you do something else? Just all kind of topics. And there, they're going to have videos, articles, and downloads, things that can be shared. And then if they sign up for it, and I'll put a little plug in for me, if they're going to sign up for Gatelist, it'll ask if you're using a lender, pick my name, Mike Campion. But they will then get opened up to another area, which is being able to do flyers, individual property flyers that they can create, being able to share our Enjoy magazine, creating their profile so that it helps with the search engine optimization. So, you know, probably the only downside is they'll get an email from us every now and then, and they can control the amount of emails. So
that's not a downside.
There really
you know,
is no downside.
$298 a year to be a member, and then we have a lot of trainings, and then, of course, they can upgrade to other things. You're not even charging a fee to get into it, which is amazing.
You're getting snippets from successful agents across the country and how they've dealt with all of these topics. If it's how to build your team, if you're looking to expand and build a team, you know, somebody's gone through it, and these are top agents that have expanded on that. So if you're listening to the blog radio, this post, and you can go on to gatelist.com. It is an excellent site to be able to get that information from and share. And a lot of it's just shareable content. If you need stuff for your social media, that's all stuff that can be shared.
I want to ask a quick, I want to say real, Mike Campion, and then there's also, I see another site here, Mike.Campion, it's C-A-M, P as in Paul, I-O-N, Mike.Campion at rate.com, R-A-T-E.com.
That's all the same. We were able to this year shorten our email addresses and our just to go to rate.com as opposed to guaranteedrate.com. But all of that is me, and it will all get to me.
I want them to be able to get to you easily, you know, without, yeah, that sounds good. Okay. Wow.
Wonderful. Let's see. I'm just looking here. We talked about digital mortgage. One thing I wanted to talk about, because I know you said that some of your clients or some of the listeners may just be the homeowners.
Right.
A lot of focus, or the consumer, a lot of focus has been put on credit. So right now, if there's three parts to a loan, income, cash, and credit, some things you can't really control. I mean, your income is your income and your assets, you have what you have. But your credit has a big impact on rates, on programs you can choose from, on the cost you're going to pay for mortgage insurance. And credit is, if I had any input into or suggestions for either new or anybody really in the process, is to try to increase your credit score. And there's a lot of information out there on doing that. But one thing that is I find is interesting is only 35% of your score is based on the derogatory and the past history. And some of that you may not have control over. It's just it's history. If you can get it removed, great.
Right.
But that doesn't – that's not your whole credit score. A lot of what you do have control over is how you can increase your score, reducing your revolving balances, not opening a lot of new debt, you know, having a good mix of credit. So a lot of that stuff is just stuff you can manage over time to give you a better score, which is going to ultimately help you get the best rate. And that's always helpful. If you can get the scores up over, you know, ideally if you can be over 720, that's wonderful. And you're going to get the benefits from having that. And so don't ever get discouraged if you do have derogatory information that it's not all of what drives your score.
You
can try to work through that.
Should you have under 50 on the credit limit? Should it always be 40% or under? Like, so if you have a $5,000 credit line, you should never let it go above 2,000.
That is a great question because each of the three credit bureaus have their own scoring models. In fact, there's a ton of scoring models,
You
can't get a firm answer from anybody. In general, the categories are, I think you really want to try to be under 50% or 30% or 10%. Each drop helps in bettering your score. Now, if you're under 90 versus, quote, being maxed out, then that's going to help. If you get under 70, under 50, all of those increments will help. But you are being, the lower you can get it, the better. And I think under 50 is you're probably being penalized a small amount. Under 30 is probably a wash where you're not going to getting hurt.
Oh, I got you.
30% of the limit.
So shoot for 30.
So on a $1,000 card, if your balance can be under 300, you're not being penalized at all. If it's under 500, maybe there's a slight.
I don't like credit cards. I have a Macy's, but we have of course a business, and I have cards. So like if I'm traveling and you know, you need certain cards, or American Express is okay. But like you go to department stores, and if they say, oh, you know, you're gonna save right now $200 on what you're buying if you get the credit card, and usually the answer is no, I don't want to have credit cards because the department store cards, because they're it's you might as well just pay. But for example, Macy's offers you so many deals that it's worth it having it because you can really save a lot of money, and their system is awesome. So if somebody does that, it's just a quick question. If somebody says, okay, I want to get it because I'm going to save $200 today, but then I really don't want it next month. I want to cancel it. Does that hurt them because they're the consumer closing the credit card?
Well, it may hurt the score initially because it's going to be open new. It's going to be an account that's recent, which is their look for credit history. So you don't want to open it just to then close it. That doesn't help. So if you're going to open up a card, you want to have a good mix of debts, revolving, installment, you know, a mortgage. You don't want to be too high in any one category. You don't want to open up a department store card, you know, 8 department store cards. You're going to be out in that category is not going to be good. But you do need revolving credit to help create the score. So people
that live off their debit cards, you do need some.
That's correct. You want to... you don't want to just open it and then close it. Closing it by the consumer, I'm not sure that there's a penalty for the consumer closing it, but it's just a mix of available credit and how long have you had it open, is it closed?
So it could hurt you by closing it. It could definitely hurt you. And then also people have, debit cards for security purposes, you don't always want to use your debit card if you're in a restaurant and somebody has your credit card. So there's obvious reasons to have credit cards. I'm just, you know, asking,
Yes, and you need it to create the score. To build your score, you have to be able to demonstrate that you have the ability to pay in a timely fashion. And the only way to demonstrate that is for accounts that are reported on your credit report. And a debit card is not reported on your credit report. So you have to be able to demonstrate that you can pay in a timely fashion. That's how you're going to increase your score and that you're not on the fringes or maxed out or overloaded or any other type of term that might signify that you don't know how to manage your credit. So,
do you recommend people always pull a 3-in-1 report rather than just one because they're so different, can be so different, they varied with the three different credit bureaus?
There will be a variance, particularly if it involves some derogatory credit, because sometimes maybe a collection will only report to one bureau or two and not the third. So it is nice to get all three. What I certainly recommend is the annualcreditreport.com. That's the free credit report that you're entitled to once a year. There's no cost to that. There's plenty of parts to it where they'll want you to sign up for some services, but you can do that without signing up for extra services, and you can just make sure that what is being reported is accurate and that
trigger all three reports. Is that all three?
You would order it from three times, you know, from each bureau.
Okay.
So individually,
but
you would just search
once a year. Okay.
Yes, and that's a government right, and that is through annualcreditreport.com. And I think all three are listed there, but you have to go through each one. You have to answer certain questions, so it's going to try to verify your, you know, that you are who you are.
That to be careful not to sign up for the thing that they have to cancel, so that's not going to start taking that money out of your account every month. Yeah.
Right. All you want is just to get the report, and you're reviewing it for discrepancies. But that's certainly something that you can do. It doesn't really give you the score, but it gives you the information. Usually you have to pay for the score. But to throw in a plug for me, I will do one for free. So if any of your clients would like a credit report, if they're interested in doing a home purchase, I'm happy to do that. And I would just have them start with the online application.
Fantastic. Well, Mike, we flew by. It's already an hour.
We sure did.
Your contact information again is, I'll let you give it.
It's Mike, M-I-K-E, .Campion, C-A-M-P-I-O-N, @rate.com is my email address. A website, if you want to go straight to a website, is Mike Campion @guaranteed rate. So if
is
you just Google that,
it
should pop right up.
If you just Google that, it'll pop right up. That's easier. Okay. Gosh, this has been wonderful. We'll have to have you back. I'm going to actually put out, because people that are, I'm going to put out the gatelist.com and your information as well. This is wonderful.
Yeah, Gate, I can't recommend that any higher, more strongly, because that is just a perfect site for agents without any expectation of, you know, you're not going to be bombarded with ads and stuff. It's just all usable information.
I love it.
Hopefully you will like what Guarantee Rate is offering and give us a shot. But that's got some great information on it.
Thank you. Thank you. So we'll have to have you back.
Okay.
And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.